The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome, curious listener. Today we are tackling something, well, pretty huge. We're diving deep into Martin Redfern's amazing work, The Earth, Biography of an Integrated System.
Yeah, and this isn't just, you know, a quick look at current events. We're talking 4.6 billion years of history.
Exactly. And trying to understand how all that deep history actually shapes your life right now, today.
Mm-hmm. And this book, it's more than just a science textbook, really. It's sort of an invitation. Our goal here is to give you a kind of shortcut to developing what Redfern himself calls geological thinking.
Geological thinking. Okay, so what's that actually mean in practice?
It means seeing the Earth not as this solid, unchanging stage under our feet, you know, but as a single dynamic, interconnected system, almost like a machine.
I like that, seeing the hidden engine beneath everything. So it's not just about like rocks and volcanoes.
Not at all.
Okay. Mm. Because this kind of thinking feels incredibly relevant right now, doesn't it? We're living in this era of, well, rapid climate change, concerns about resources, yeah. Understanding how Earth works, its history, its natural cycles. It seems essential, you know, for being an informed citizen, for figuring out how we navigate the future. We kind of need to know the house rules.
Exactly. We need the instruction manual. And luckily, we have a fantastic guide in Martin Redfern.
Tell us a bit about him. What makes him the right person for this?
Well, first off, he's a distinguished geophysicist.
Yeah.
He knows the science inside out. But his real superpower, I think, especially for a general audience, is communication.
Ah, okay. So he can actually explain it.
He really can. He spent, what, 2 decades as a science correspondent for the BBC World Service.
Wow, okay. That's significant.
Yeah, so he's not just stuck in an academic bubble. Mm. He's practiced at taking these incredibly complex ideas like, you know, the mind-bending slowness of continents moving or vast geological timescales and making them, well, relatable, understandable to people all over the world.
That's crucial, isn't it? Because we're talking about processes that are almost impossible to grasp. Intuitively, millions, billions of years.
Exactly. And Redfern makes it clear his goal isn't just dumping facts on you. It's about cultivating a sense of wonder.
Wonder.
Yeah. Moving us beyond just like knowing about the Earth to really appreciating its intricate systems, how they interact, how they create the conditions for life like ours.
Okay, so let's get into the heart of the book then. What's the main argument? The big idea?
The central thesis really is that Earth isn't just a static backdrop for life. Or for human history. Hmm. It's dynamic. It's interconnected.
Like that orchestra idea you mentioned earlier.
Precisely. Imagine the whole planet, the rocks, the atmosphere, the oceans, all living things, they're all interacting constantly, influencing each other.
So it's a performance, not just a stage.
That's a great way to put it. The core insight is that Earth's history isn't just a sequence of random events. It's a coherent story. A narrative of these system interactions.
Mm-hmm.
The solid Earth, the geology. The water cycle, the hydrosphere, mm-hmm. the atmosphere and climate, and the biosphere, life itself, they've all co-evolved since the very beginning.
Co-evolved, meaning they develop together, influencing each other.
Exactly, through constant feedback loops, sometimes maintaining stability, sometimes driving huge transformations over deep time.
So things like plate tectonics, the climate system, the water cycle, they aren't separate subjects like in school textbooks?
No, they're fundamentally wired together. Redfern really hammers this home.
Okay, give me an example. How does that connection work?
Well, think about plate tectonics shifting the continents around. That movement changes the shape of ocean basins, which then redirects ocean currents. And ocean currents are huge drivers of global climate patterns. So geology impacts climate.
Right. And I guess it works the other way, too, like life impacting geology.
Absolutely. Think about early life changing the chemistry of the atmosphere.
Mm.
That, in turn, affected what kinds of rocks formed on the ocean floor. It's all tangled up. Understanding these deep connections is geological thinking. Got it. Okay, let's dig into some specifics. Redfern talks about the Earth's engine, right? What's driving all this?
Yeah, he starts right at the beginning. Earth's formation, this incredibly violent process where the planet basically sorted itself out. Heavy stuff sank.
The iron core.
Right, the dense iron core. Lighter stuff floated, forming the mantle and the thin crust we live on. And that initial heat, plus ongoing radioactive decay deep inside, that's the engine. It drives everything.
And that internal heat leads to plate tectonics.
Exactly. That differentiation gave us the main engine of modern geology, plate tectonics. Our planet's surface isn't one solid piece. It's broken up into these massive, rigid plates, a mosaic, he calls it.
And these plates are moving.
They're floating, essentially, on a layer deeper down called the asthenosphere. Now, that sounds technical,
A little bit, yeah.
but just think of it as a really hot, sort of gooey, semi-molten rock layer in the upper mantle. It's weak enough that the rigid plates above can slide around on it very, very slowly.
Right, you mentioned the speed, like fingernails growing. Yeah, about that speed. Maybe a few centimeters a year.
It still blows my mind that something moving that slowly can build mountains or cause earthquakes.
That's the power of deep time. Accumulate that tiny movement over millions of years, and you get colossal results. Redfern uses really good examples of what happens at the boundaries where these plates meet.
Okay, like what?
Well, you have divergent boundaries. Think of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. There, the plates are pulling apart.
Okay.
Magma wells up from the mantle to fill the gap, cools, and forms new ocean crust. So the Atlantic Ocean is actually getting wider year by year. It's like a conveyor belt creating new seafloor.
Wow. Constant creation and the opposite, where they crash together.
Those are convergent boundaries. And yeah, that's where the really dramatic stuff happens. Huge forces are unleashed when two continents collide, for instance.
Like India hitting Asia.
Exactly. As the Himalayas were formed. Neither continental plate wants to sink under the other. They're both relatively light. So the crust just buckles, folds, and gets pushed upwards into massive mountain ranges. It's the planet literally crumpling. Shows you the immense energy involved.
So the internal engine builds things up, but there are forces tearing them down too, right?
Absolutely. That's the other side of the coin. While the internal forces are building mountains and continents, external forces, weathering and erosion, are constantly working to wear them down.
Water, ice, wind, the usual suspects.
Yep. They are the patient sculptors of the landscape, as Redfern puts it, working relentlessly over geological time.
And I guess the classic example of that sculpting power is the Grand Canyon.
Oh, definitely. He uses it as a prime case study. It's like an open book of Earth's history.
How so?
Well, that immense canyon wasn't carved quickly. It was the Colorado River, grinding away bit by bit through layer after layer of rock for millions of years.
Just the river.
Primarily the river, cutting down, carrying away sediment. When you stand at the rim and look at those exposed rock walls, you're seeing almost 2 billion years of geological history stacked up. It's just incredible. It perfectly shows the power of erosion and that concept of deep time.
So all that material eroded away, where does it go? Does it just disappear?
Nope. It feeds back into another crucial Earth system, the rock cycle.
Ah, the rock cycle. Igneous, sedimentary, metamorphic. I remember that from school.
Right. And the key isn't just memorizing the types. It's understanding it as Earth's continuous recycling program. Rocks aren't permanent. Igneous rocks form from cooled magma.
Like granite or basalt.
Exactly. They get eroded. The fragments get transported, deposited, buried, and cemented together to form sedimentary rocks.
Like sandstone or shale.
And those sedimentary rocks are incredibly important because they're Earth's archives. They trap fossils, preserve clues about past climates, ancient environments.
So that's where we read the history.
That's a huge part of it, yeah. And then if either igneous or sedimentary rocks get buried deep enough, heat and pressure transform them into metamorphic rocks.
Like marble from limestone.
Right. And eventually, any rock can get pushed deep enough to melt back into magma, starting the cycle all over again. It's this constant transformation and recycling.
Okay, so we have the internal engine, the external sculptors, the recycling system.
Mm.
What about life? You said life isn't just passive.
Far from it. Redfern makes a strong case that life has been a major geological force throughout Earth's history.
A geological force? How?
The most stunning example is probably the Great Oxidation Event. Billions of years ago, early photosynthetic microbes, tiny cyanobacteria, started pumping out oxygen as a waste product.
Okay.
Before that, Earth's atmosphere had virtually no free oxygen. These tiny organisms fundamentally changed the entire planet's chemistry. It was actually toxic to much of the existing life at the time.
A mass poisoning event caused by microbes.
Pretty much. But that oxygen buildup allowed for the evolution of respiration, paved the way for more complex, multicellular life, including us.
That's mind-blowing. Tiny organisms reshaping a whole planet's atmosphere and future biology.
It really is. And that leads us right into a more recent concept Redfern discusses, the Anthropocene.
The age of humans. The idea that our activities are now having a similar planet-scale impact.
Precisely. We've shifted from just being inhabitants on the planet to becoming a dominant geological agent ourselves.
How so? Through things like CO2 emissions.
That's a huge one, yeah. Our impact on the carbon cycle is massive. but also changes to land use, biodiversity loss, moving materials around the planet. We're now influencing Earth's fundamental systems on a scale comparable to some of those ancient natural forces.
But hang on, the Earth's climate has always changed, right? Ice ages, warm periods. How do we know our current impact isn't just, you know, part of a natural cycle? What makes this Anthropocene really different geologically?
That's a really important question. And the key difference Redfern highlights is the rate of change, the speed.
Speed?
Yeah. Natural geological climate shifts, driven by things like orbital cycles or tectonic changes, typically happen over thousands or millions of years. Humans are driving enormous changes, especially in atmospheric carbon dioxide levels, within decades. Generations.
Okay. So it's the unprecedented speed that makes our impact a distinct geological event. We're pushing the system way faster than it naturally moves.
Exactly. The system hasn't had time to adjust in the ways it might over geological timescales. That sheer velocity of change is what defines the Anthropocene and makes it, frankly, quite concerning.
That certainly puts our current situation and our responsibility into a much sharper focus.
Okay, so if we were to boil down Redfern's message, what are the main takeaways, the big ideas he wants us to really internalize?
I think there are three core ones. First, definitely that idea of Earth as an integrated system.
The orchestra analogy again?
Right. Everything is connected. Changes in one part, tectonics, atmosphere, life have knock-on effects, cascading through the others, sometimes in unexpected ways.
And the reflection for us. It's about applying systems thinking. Whether you're looking at a business problem, city planning, or even just, you know, your garden, recognize that actions have consequences beyond the immediate. Nothing exists in a vacuum.
Makes sense. What's the second big takeaway?
The sheer immensity of deep time. Our human brains aren't really wired to grasp millions or billions of years. What looks stable and permanent to us, mountains, coastlines, is actually incredibly dynamic on geological scales.
So stability is kind of an illusion.
Maintained by constant change, as Redfern puts it. And grasping that deep time perspective is absolutely crucial for putting today's environmental changes into context. It helps us understand why the rate of current change is so significant.
Got it. And the third takeaway?
It's the recognition of humanity as a geological agent. We've become this powerful force shaping the planet.
And with great power.
That comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
This realization demands a new level of scientific literacy from all of us. Understanding our impact on resources, the climate, biodiversity, it's essential for making informed decisions, for evaluating policies, for pushing towards a more sustainable path.
Those are powerful points. And Redfern's writing itself often conveys this, right? You mentioned the wonder he tries to cultivate. Are there any particular quotes or key ideas that really capture his perspective?
Oh, definitely. His language can be quite evocative. One that really sticks out, capturing that interconnectedness, is, "The Earth is not a stage upon which life performs, but a partner in the performance itself."
Ah, I like that. It shifts the whole dynamic, doesn't it? Life isn't just on Earth, it's with Earth.
Exactly. Co-creating the conditions. Then there's one about time. To understand our planet, we must learn to think in geological time, where millions of years are brief moments and stability is an illusion maintained by constant change.
That really forces you to zoom out, way out, puts our frantic daily lives in perspective.
It certainly does. And finally, perhaps the most pointed one regarding our current situation. We are the first species in Earth history to recognize our own geological impact. And with that recognition comes both unprecedented responsibility and unprecedented opportunity.
The opportunity being
what?
To consciously manage our impact.
I think so. The knowledge gives us the potential, maybe even the obligation, to act differently, ethically, consciously.
Okay, so let's bring this down to the ground level. How can someone listening right now start applying this geological thinking in their everyday life? Any practical tips?
Yeah, a few simple things. One is just reading the landscape.
Like being a detective outdoors.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Next time you're out hiking or even just driving, look around with fresh eyes. See a valley with a sort of U-shape that's almost certainly carved by a massive glacier from the last ice age. See cliffs with distinct flat layers.
Yeah.
That's sedimentary rock. You're looking at ancient lake beds or seabeds or sand dunes turned to stone. Each layer is a page of history. It just enriches your experience of the natural world so much. Makes you feel less like scenery and more like a story.
I like that. Makes every road trip potentially more interesting. What else?
It definitely informs how we think about resources, supporting informed citizenship. when you understand that things like oil, gas, coal, or metal ores weren't just placed there,
right,
but were concentrated by incredibly slow geological processes over millions, even billions of years. Well, it changes how you view their consumption.
Makes you realize they're finite gifts of deep time, I suppose.
Exactly. And that underscores the urgency of managing them carefully and transitioning towards more sustainable resources. Mm. It's not just an environmental preference. It's a geological reality check.
Okay. And is there a skill component, too?
I think so. The book implicitly teaches critical thinking. Redfern explains how geologists piece together Earth's history using different lines of evidence, rock layers, fossils, chemical signatures, radioactive dating.
Which often involves uncertainty and interpretation.
Absolutely. Learning how scientists weigh diverse, sometimes indirect, evidence to build a coherent narrative over 4.6 billion years, that ability to synthesize complex information and deal with uncertainty is valuable far beyond geology. You can apply it anywhere.
That's a great point. Thinking about the whole book, what was maybe the most surprising or insightful thing for you personally?
You know, it might be that reframing of climate change he does, the idea that climate change is not something happening to Earth. It is something Earth does.
Right, the natural cycles.
Yeah. The planet has always cycled between warmer and colder periods. It has its own internal climate dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
The crucial, critical distinction now is the human fingerprint, the speed, the forcing from greenhouse gases.
So understanding the natural system is key to understanding our unnatural influence on it.
Precisely. It helps us see what's normal variability versus what's, well, us pushing the system off balance. It frames the whole conversation differently, I think.
Yeah, that really lands differently. For me, the lasting lesson isn't just the facts, amazing as they are. It's that shift in perspective Redfern encourages. Learning to think across vast timescales, seeing the hidden connections. It fosters a real sense of awe, doesn't it?
It really does.
And it moves you, hopefully, from just being a passenger on this planet to feeling like, well, maybe an informed crew member. A steward, someone who understands the ship and their role on it.
So, the final message for you, the listener. Embrace that geological thinking. Look deeper. Think bigger. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.